Praise the Lord, everyone. Let's turn our Bibles to Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13 and verse 23. Mark 13 and verse 23, please. But take heed, behold, I have told you everything in advance. But take heed, behold, I have told you everything in advance. Here we know the context. Jesus is talking to the disciples and his imminent return, his second coming. So, we already know what Jesus has said in the world. We all know what's going to happen. We all know how things are working towards the coming of Christ. So here, the topic that I've chosen is getting the bride ready, or preparation of the bride. The reason why I read this verse is, you know, in Revelation, time and again, the Spirit of God says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church." Now, many times we might stop listening to the word. We may not hear from the word of God is because of a couple of reasons. One of them is we get familiarized with the word of God. We get familiarized with the scripture. I think on 31st night, Brother Arun was talking about that passage. He was just saying we get familiarized with the word. In other words, we become pride, spiritual pride. When spiritual pride gets in, we stop hearing from the word of God. Number two is worry or anxiety. When we worry about what is happening in our lives, when we worry, when we have that anxiety, we stop listening from the word of God. So here Jesus says, "I've already told you everything in advance." So let's turn our Bibles to Revelation chapter 21, Revelation chapter 21, verse 9 and verse 10. Revelation 21, verse 9 and verse 10.
"Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues come to me and talked with me, saying, 'Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife.'"
It was verse 10 as well.
"And he carried me away in the spirit of the great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of the heaven from God."
And also verse 1 and verse 2, please.
"Now I saw the new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as the bride adorned for her husband."
Yeah, thank you, brother. So here we see made ready as a bride, adorned for her husband. The groom is Jesus Christ. From Genesis, we see Adam and Eve. And in Revelation, we also see marriage. It was God's intention for mankind. God's intention is to prepare a bride. You know, In the Gospels, you know, from Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the groom, the bridegroom, came in search of a bride, in search of a bride. In Acts, the institution of the church was established, and from Romans to Revelation, it all talks about the preparation. Preparation of a bride. Preparation of a bride. So first thing is, there's a calling that is involved. There's a calling that is involved. And number two is the preparation. The preparation that is involved. So before the coming of Christ, we are called. And now there is a phase that we all have to go through, that is called the preparation phase. Before the coming of Christ. Before the coming of Christ. And let me tell you one thing. Though we are sitting here, though we are part of the church, everybody can't be in that wedding. Everybody can't be a bride. We can reach heaven, but there are certain things that, you know, each and every individual, each and every church has to do in order to become part of that bride. You know, most of us have been to the wedding, right? There are many guests, but there's only one person who sits beside the groom, the bride. So there are certain qualities, there are certain things that we need to understand. Time and again, God has emphasized, God has told in the scripture how the bride should be, how the bride should be. We all know Book of Esther. Esther is one of the symbolic way. We all know that, you know, we see Esther as a historic book. That's good. But also, we see a lot of symbolism in the Book of Esther, how a bride should be prepared, how a bride should be. So let's turn our Bibles to Esther chapter 1. Esther chapter 1. We all know the story. I'm not reading the complete passages here because of time. We all know King Ahasuerus. He had a queen called Vashti, and he commanded the queen to show her beauty to all the guests. And the queen has rejected the king's order. And we all know what happened. We see how Esther came into picture. Esther came into picture. You know, even the old covenant, the Israelites, they were considered as a bride. In other words, God was their husband. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 5, please. Verse 5. I'll read that. For your husband is your maker, whose name is the Lord of hosts, and your redeemer is the Holy One of Israel, who is called the God of all the earth. So, for your husband is your maker. And also in Jeremiah 31, verse 32. Not like the covenant which I will make with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. So here we see two parallels. One is, the king has commanded Vashti to come and display her beauty. The king, Vashti has rejected, and now we see the Esther coming into picture. And also in the old covenant, Israel has rejected. God wanted to show the beauty to the entire nations through Israel. God had chosen Israel among all the nations to show the beauty of God the Majesty, but Israel rejected, time and again rejected. And now we see Christ, we see the church, and we also see how the church should be prepared. And as I said, everybody can't be in that group. Everybody can't be a bride. We can reach heaven. We can reach, you know, the place where we can worship, but everybody can't be a bride. Everybody can't be a bride. So let's turn our Bibles to Esther chapter 2. Esther chapter 2. Verse 1, verse 2, and also verse 3, please.
Then the king's attendants who served him said, a beautiful young virgin is sought for the king. Let the king appoint overseers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather every beautiful young virgin to the citadel of Susa, to the harem, into the custody of the guy, the king's eunuch, who is in charge of the women, and let their costumes be given them.
Yep. So before we just move into this verses, I would like to just say one thing. Many people may not like how a king has commanded Vashti and she rejected. You know, we talk about rights, right? The world talks about rights. It's my choice, my body. But here, when we come into the kingdom of God, there's no rights. It's only about responsibilities. It's only about responsibilities. I die and then I live. When I come into the kingdom of God, I die. I don't have any rights. I live by faith. I live through the Spirit of God. I have a responsibility when I come into the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 7:23. We all know that we were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. Do not become slaves of men or slaves of servant. When we talk about rights, we give importance to the opinion of people. In other words, opinion of men. So when we are in the kingdom of God, when we have accepted Christ, we don't have any rights, only we have responsibilities. As brother has read in Esther chapter 2 verse 1 to 3, we see three things: beautiful, in other translation it says fair, young, virgin. Beautiful, young, virgin. Sometime back, Brother Bob was talking about the parable, the parable of the marriage feast. In Matthew 22, verse 9 and verse 10, it says, "Go therefore to the main highways, and as many as you find there, invite to the wedding feast." Verse 10, "Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered together all they found, both evil and good. And the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests." The wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. And also in verse 14, we see, For many are called, but few are chosen. Few are chosen. As I said, in the Gospels, the groom came in search for a bride. So the calling is for everyone. But only few will be part of that bride. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, can someone quickly read that for me, please? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, please. Verse 17.
"Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you."
Yeah, thank you, brother. So here, God is saying through the man of God, come out from their midst and be separate. So as a kingdom people, as people in the kingdom, we are separated. You know, this combined meeting is about the theme is holiness, right? Holiness. We have to not only separate, we are separate unto God. There are two things. We have to separate from the world, and we are separate. The reason why we are separated is that we have to be separate unto God. So there's nothing unclean should be in us. Nothing unclean should be in us. So let's turn to Esther again. Esther chapter 2 and verse 5.
"Now there was a spirit of Susa, a Jew, whose name was Masadai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite."
Yeah. So he's a Jew. Jew whose name was Mordecai. And also, we see, you know, in 2 Corinthians, God emphasizes who is a Jew. In Romans chapter 2, verse 28, and also in verse 29.
"For he is not a Jew who is outwardly, nor is circumcision that is which is outwardly in flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that which is of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter. And his praise is not from men, but from God."
Yeah. So here we see in Esther, this Mordecai, he was a Jew. And who is a Jew? Who is inwardly. He is not concerned about the opinion. He is not concerned about the opinion of man. Rather, he is concerned about the opinion of God. His ministry is not dependent on the opinion of man. So here, Esther is here, represents church, and Jew, Mordecai, he represents the ministry, the man of God, who is preparing Esther, who is preparing Esther and whose ministry is not dependent on the opinion of man. Rather, his ministry is dependent on the opinion of God. So the servants are involved. The role of a ministry as a servant is to prepare the church, prepare the church as a bride, so that when the Christ comes, we can present Christ as beautiful young virgin, beautiful young virgin. So who is a Jew? Who is inwardly, he is having that circumcision, not by the letter, but by the spirit, and also inwardly, the heart matters. So here we see in Esther chapter 2, verse 7 and verse 8, please. Verse 7 and also in verse 8.
And Mordecai had brought up Hadassa, that is Esther, his uncle daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. The young woman was lovely and beautiful when her father and mother died. Mordecai took her as his own daughter. So it was when the king commands and decree were heard, and when many young women were gathered at Shushan, the citadel, under the custody of Hegai, that Esther also was taken to the king's palace into the care of Hegai, the custodian of the woman.
Yeah, thank you, brother. So here we see Hegai, custody of Hegai, who was in charge of the woman. Hegai represents the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit God here. He is in charge of the woman. In other words, we see many symbolic representations of a woman being a church or church being a woman. Hegai represents the Holy Spirit. And also, interestingly, we see in verse 8, Esther had no father or mother. In other words, they died. In other words, she was brought up, we have read that. He was bringing up as his name was called Hadassa, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had no father or mother. So when we are born again, we have seen in Hebrews many a times that we are born into the royal priesthood of Melchizedek. In other words, when we have that born-again experience, we all know in Luke 14:26 and also in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, we all know that scripture portion. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. In other words, when we are born again, our love for Christ should be more comparatively to our flesh and blood. So here we see Esther, who was called Hadassa, and uncle was taking care of her, and she had no father or mother. In other words, the church, all of us, when we enter into the kingdom of God, nothing should stop us from loving Christ, from loving our groom, loving Jesus. Our love should be more than our father or mother or our daughter or son. Nothing should stop us. As I said, we are called the royal priesthood of Melchizedek. And also, we have, as I said, Hegai in verse 8, Hegai represents the Holy Spirit. So here the problem is, are we giving a heed? Are we giving that listening ear to the Spirit of God? Esther was given into the custody of Hegai, who was in charge of the woman. So, question to ourselves, to each and every one of us as individuals, are we listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit? As I said in the beginning, in Revelation, the Spirit of God says, he who has a ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is telling to the church. We should have that listening ear to listen to him, to please him. So are we listening? Are we pleasing Him? Are we pleasing the Holy Spirit God, or are we grieving the Holy Spirit? Are we grieving the Holy Spirit? And also in verse 9, we have seen, now the young lady pleased him, Esther chapter 2, verse 9. Now the young lady pleased him and found favor with him. So what he did? So he quickly provided her with her cosmetics and food, gave her 7 choice maids from the king's palace, and transferred her and her maids to the best place in the harem. So here we see, in Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 1, we see the number 7. Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 1.
For 7 women, we take hold of one man that they say, we will eat our own bread and wear our own clothes. Only let us be called by your name, take away our reproach.
Yeah. So here we see those 7 women, what they're saying, take hold of one man, that is Christ Himself, Christ Jesus in that day, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own clothes. So let us be called by your name, take away our reproach. In other words, what these times the churches are saying is, Lord, we'll do whatever we want. We have our own ministry. We will build our own kingdom. We will do our own plans. We will do our own activities. But we just want your name. We just want to be Christians, and we just want to do our own thing. Here we see, we eat our own bread and wear our own clothes. So let us be called by your name. Take away our reproach. So in Revelation we also see 7 churches through that age. So in Esther we have seen those 7 maids, right? 7 maids. So it is symbolically, it is talking through that 7 churches. The number 7. And also in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6.
For all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment, and all of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away.
Yeah. And before we just move further, so here I just want to make one point. In so many people in the kingdom of God are just satisfied with the salvation alone. They don't want to be separated. In other words, they have put that limit. They have already put that limit in that relationship with Christ. This is what I am. I can't go further. In other words, what is happening is, when they are saying the relationship is actually ended, there's no more further relationship, because Christ has given everything and He demands the bride to be the same. He demands the bride to lose all the rights and only look for the responsibilities that the groom, the Christ, the Word of God has given. They have to take up that responsibilities and go further. But rather what is happening is, they want everything. They have their own agenda. They have their own ministry. They have their own kingdom build up. But they just want to be Christian, just take His name. They don't want to go further. They have already put limits. In Romans 10, chapter 10 and verse 3, we see the righteousness of God, the apparel, which represents the righteousness of God, righteousness of Christ. In Isaiah 4:1, we have seen what they have said is, we'll eat our own bread and wear our own clothes, our own righteousness. In other words, our own deeds, our own works, not on the righteousness of God, not based on the righteousness of God. In Isaiah 64, verse 6, we've seen, for all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment, and all of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. So our righteousness is like a filthy garment. We all know that. Many a times we have heard and we have read that. And in 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse 4,
but let it be hidden person of the heart, the imperishable quality of his gentle and quiet spirit, is precious in the sight of God.
Yeah. And also, we see Esther, the bride is hidden. Nobody knows. I mean, we know now the bride is Esther, but in that time, that specific time, nobody knows who that bride was, right? And the meaning of Esther is hidden. I will be hidden. In Romans 8, chapter 8 and verse 19, we see the creation is waiting eagerly to see. Can someone quickly read that, please?
For the anxious longing of creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God.
Yeah. So the whole creation is waiting. We might be coming to the church, but only God knows. Nobody knows who that actual bride is. Who that actual bride is. So Esther, as I said, the meaning of Esther's name is, I will be hidden. I will be hidden. In 1 Peter, as we have already read, let it be that hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. We have seen in other translation, it says the meekness. The first song that we sang was meekness and majesty. So the meekness, how Christ is a most humble person, the meek person that walked, that ever walked. And he wants us to be that meek and gentle person, that hidden person. Esther was hidden. Nobody knows who that bride was till that moment when really Esther became. So here, in the church, we should be that hidden. We don't want to project ourselves, right? Whenever we do that work, only Christ should be glorified. Our motto always should be Christ and His glory. His glory through our actions. We always should be that hidden person. We always should be that hidden person. Hidden person. Esther did not draw any attention to herself. Only God knew that she was that the person that she was, that God was looking. And also in verse 11, Esther chapter 2, verse 11.
And every day Mordecai paced in front of the court of the women's quarters to learn of Esther's welfare and what was happened to her.
Yeah. So as I said, Mordecai was a Jew and he represents the servant of God. So he was back, he was just walking back and forth. So he's always concerned about the word. In other words, the servant of God should be concerned about how the bride is, how the word of God is being projected, how Esther is being transformed into a bride. He's always concerned about that. We see you're called, you know, to be a minister, you need to prepare bride, not to feel good about themselves. We all know that how the churches are turning away from that mission, turning away from that goal. And much of the work or much of the ministry that happens is preparing the bride outwardly, but not inwardly. Not inwardly. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, please.
So that you might sanctify her, and you cleanse her by the washing of water, the word.
Yeah. We see here, washing of water with the word. Not just listening to the word of God, but we need to apply that word. Washing of water with the word. What happens if we don't apply the word of God? What happens if we don't apply that washing of water in Isaiah 42 and verse 22.
But this is a people robbed and plundered. All of them are slain in boats, and they are hidden in quiet prison houses. They are for prey, and no one delivers. For plunder, and no one says restore.
Yeah, no one says restore. Inwardly, you know, they might be having that. Outwardly, they might be looking very good. Outwardly, they might be looking very good. But inwardly, they are living in their prisons. Inwardly, they are living in their prisons, and they will say, no one will say restore. No one will say restore. Let's turn to Esther again. Esther chapter 2. I'm just going quickly because of I've got a lot of verses. Esther chapter 2 and verse 12, please. Verse 12.
Now when the turn of each younger came to go into to King Ahasuerus after the end of her 12 months, and the revelations for the women, for the days of their beautification were completed as follows: 6 months with oil of bread, and 6 months with spices and the cosmetics of her women.
Yeah. So here we see 6 months, 12 months preparation and oil of myrrh. And in other translation it says perfume or sweet odor or sweet aroma. So there are two things. One is the oil of myrrh, and also in and also the second one is perfume, sweet odor or sweet aroma. We all know, you know, the symbolic meaning, or you know, myrrh is this, it stands for suffering. It stands for suffering. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 to 18, please.
Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
Yeah, thank you, brother. So here we see Paul saying this. Paul saying this. He was going through that persecution. He was going through that suffering. And he says, it's a light affliction. It's a light affliction. The outward man is perishing, but the inward man is being renewed day by day. As I said, this myrrh, oil of myrrh, it stands for suffering. As the oil of myrrh is being applied, are you being renewed day by day inwardly? Are you being renewed day by day inwardly? In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, please. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12.
If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us.
Yeah. So if we endure, we will reign with him. Another translation says, if you suffer with him, also reign with him. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 4, 13.
So the degree that you share sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exaltation.
Yeah. And also Romans 8, verse 17, please.
If indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him.
Yeah, thank you, brother. So here we see there are many other scripture portions about you know, suffering. Many a times we in the church we spoke about, or we just heard about suffering, right? So the Christ, the bridegroom, he's gone through that suffering, and he demands us, he demands the bride also to go through that same phase. Go through that same phase. You know, in Genesis, Adam and Eve, we all know that, right? So God's intention was to become one, ultimately become one. So how can you become one is a question. How can you become one? Two different people, two different personalities, they should become one. They should become one. You know, physically, yes, God had that to, you know, to be fruitful. But to become one, it's a journey, right? It's a journey. Their minds should be renewed. Their minds should be renewed by the word of God. The word of God will renew them so that they become one. In other words, whenever they take decisions, whenever there comes a certain point in their times, you know, the way they look at us, they will look at through the word of God. That is the meaning of becoming one. So it's a lifelong journey. It's a lifelong journey. Christ, comparatively, Christ has done everything. Now the bride has to take that word and has to listen and has to obey, so that the bride, the church, would come and become like him. And become like him. In the first, in a couple of months back, I spoke about seeking, right? Seeking and knowing him and becoming like him. So the bride has that responsibility to take the word and obey and listen and continuously by the washing of the water with the word of God has to transform. So there is a process. There is a purification. There is a preparation that is involved. One of the preparation that we are seeing is through the oil of myrrh. Oil of myrrh that represents suffering. That represents suffering. So the word of God should be the basis. The word of God should be the basis. Mark chapter 4, verse 5 and verse 6. We all know this. Mark chapter 4, verse 5. And verse 6.
Other seed fell on the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched because it had no root, withered away.
Yeah. Because it had no root, it withered away. Many times, you know, when trouble comes, when situations go against us, when we don't have the basis, when we don't have the firm root, you know, here we see it withered away. It withered away. So one is, the first thing is oil of myrrh. And also in Revelation 21 and verse 7, please. 21 and verse 7.
He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son.
Yeah, thank you, brother. So here we see, he who overcome will inherit these things. In other translation it says, all things. He who overcomes will inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. So through that suffering, we learn to overcome. We learn to overcome. Overcome this world, overcome this flesh on a daily basis, and overcome the enemy. Only because our groom, our Christ has gone through that path, even the bride also has to go through that path. And number two, in Esther we say Esther 2:12. Again, let's go back to that. Esther 2:12. The second part is perfume or sweet odor. In other words, sweet aroma. In Exodus chapter 29 and verse 18, please.
You shall offer his smoke the whole land near that. It is a burnt offering to the Lord. It is a sweeping aroma, an offering by the fire to the Lord.
Yeah. So we see the offering, right? We see the offering. We all know about all the offerings. I think Brother George was talking about some time back about the offering. Here we see burnt offering. So it involves blood. It involves fire as well. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. Christ gave himself as an offering, a fragrant aroma. And we all know Jesus drank a cup of myrrh, and also he gave himself as an offering. So two things: he suffered for us, and also he gave himself for us. So exactly, we do have that responsibility. As I said, we have to go through that suffering, and also we have to offer. In Romans 12:1, we see, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Body is also important. In order to be in this world, in order to do his will, our bodies also are important in his kingdom. So I just want to ask a quick question. So when the bridegroom has done so much, can the bride do anything less? No, right? So there is a cost. There is a price that we all need to be paying. In order to be part of that wedding, in order to be that bride, we have to go through these two things: the suffering and also through the sacrifice. Through that sacrifice, we will give that sweet aroma. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 and verse 8, please.
Who, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries to him, who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered.
Yeah, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. Suffering is a good thing, right? Many a times we don't take that. We don't take, you know, in James we see, James talks about be joyful. When you're going through suffering, be joyful. It is only for a moment. We have seen Paul saying it's only a light affliction. The whole church these days, the most of the Christendom is talking about prosperity of the soul. They just take one part of the scripture and they try to take that. But that is not, the Bible doesn't talk about that. We have to take a balanced view of the scripture. Balanced view of the scripture. So as I said, in Hebrews 5, verse 7 and verse 8, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 15, we see, we are a fragrance of Christ unto God. So when we are partakers in the sufferings of Christ, we also become that fragrance. We also become that fragrance of Christ unto God. In Luke 3 and verse 16, we see that he will baptize us with the Holy Spirit and fire. Sometime back I spoke about the refiner's fire, right? Refiner's fire. So we have to go through that fire. He will put us through that fire. You know, we are never alone. When we are going through that fire, we are never alone. We see in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 19 or 20, when we all know that story, when Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, when you are going through that fire, the fear, it was, you know, seven times it was, the furnace was heated up, right? Seven times it says. God was with them, the fourth person was with them. When each one of us are going through that fiery trials, when we're going through that fire, God has said that, the bridegroom has said that he will be with us. Jesus will be with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Let's come back to Esther chapter 2 and verse 13 to verse 15, please.
Thus prepared, each gentleman went to the king, and she was given whatever she desired to take with her from the women's quarters to the king's palace. In the evening she went, and in the morning she returned to the second house of the women, to the custody of Shashgaz, the king's eunuch, who kept the concubines. She would not go in the king again unless the king delighted in her and called for her by name. Now, when the turn came for Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her as his daughter, to go into the king, she requested nothing but what Haggai, the king's eunuch, the custodian of the women, advised. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all who saw her.
Yep, beautiful. So in verse 15 we see, she did not request anything except what Haggai, the king's eunuch who was in charge of the woman, advised. In other words, she completely listened what the Holy Spirit God has said. As I said, like the symbolism. So she did not request anything except what Haggai, king's eunuch who was in charge of the woman, advised. And Esther found favor in the eyes of all who saw her. In Revelation chapter 19 and verse 8, we see fine linen. It talks about the righteousness, the garment, the righteousness of Christ, righteousness of God. In Jude 23, we see that garment, it's polluted by any flesh, nothing of the flesh that would really, you know, enter into the kingdom of God, into that kingdom of God. And finally, there are a few couple of verses. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. We see. Can quickly someone read that for me, please?
In the future, it is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, delivered to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing.
Yeah. So notice that phrase, loved for his appearing. We all should be a people who should be not only waiting for his appearing, but we should love for his appearing. We all know the story of Rebecca and Eliezer and Isaac. Now when Eliezer came, he represents the Holy Spirit. He came and he spoke about how his master has sent him. Immediately, without wasting time, what did Rebecca do? Immediately, she left everything and she was on a journey. And throughout that journey, the Eliezer who represents the Holy Spirit was ministering unto Rebecca, who is symbolically represents the church. And she was listening. She must have seen many people through that. But when Eliezer was explaining, when the time came, you know, we'll quickly read that in Genesis 24 and 63 to 66, please.
Went out to bed in the field. Toward evening, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, camels were coming. Rebecca lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from the camels. She said to the servant, "Who is that man walking in the field to meet him?" The servant said, "He is my master." Then she took the veil and covered herself. The servant told Isaac all the things that he had done.
Yeah. So here we see Isaac. He was actually not at his father's place. He went out to meditate in the field towards evening. So it represents Christ's coming back, because he left his father's house and he'll be coming back. And now when Rebecca saw that, she, in verse 65 we see, and the servant said, "He is my master." Then she took her veil and covered herself. In other words, she's coming under the lordship. She's coming under the subjection of the lordship. So as believers, are we going through that oil of myrrh? Are we going through that suffering? Because He has promised that He will be with us. Our Christ, our Redeemer, He's already gone through that suffering, and we also have to go through that suffering, that oil of myrrh. And also the sacrifice which brings sweet aroma unto God. So are we sacrificing our bodies every day? It's a command. Are we sacrificing everything for Christ, of what He has done? But there's no other way. When we come under His subjection, when we come under His lordship, when we come under His authority, then He will come and take us. No, so nobody knows, as we have read, the entire creation is crying. Nobody knows who the sons of men are, daughters of men are. The entire creation is. So here we might be sitting and we might be going back, but only God knows who that bride would be on that day. During that time, nobody knew who would be the queen. She was hidden. And she was going through that preparation, oil of myrrh, and also that fragrance, that 12-month preparation, that purification that is involved to be that bride, to be that part of that kingdom. So when the king comes, He will choose that bride. Till then, we all of us should be listening to what the Spirit of God is telling to each one of us in our personal lives, in our family life, and also as a church. That's all. Bow down and close your eyes. Father, Lord, we thank You for this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the time that You have given to us, Lord Father. Yes, O Lord. You're preparing, O Lord Father, the bride. Lord, only You know, Lord Father. Help us, Lord Jesus, Lord, to be the wife of the Lamb, to be the bride, Lord. Yes, O Lord Father, there's so much involved in it, Lord. We are so comfortable. We have become so comfortable Christians, O Lord Father. We plan according to our own desire, O Lord Father, our own comfortable state, O Lord Father. Help us to go through that suffering, O Lord Father. Help us to come and sacrifice our time, our everything, O Lord Father. We lay down everything at Thy feet this afternoon, O Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, speak to each one of us and strengthen us as we go back, O Lord Father. Enable us to meditate on this word. And Lord Father, be that bride, part of that kingdom when that day comes, Lord. We thank You, Lord Father. We thank You for all this symbolism, all these symbols in the scripture, throughout the scripture. It began in Genesis, and Lord, right through the scripture till Revelation 21, we see that We see that marriage, O Lord Father. We see that wedding. Lord, help us to be that bride. Help us to be part of that bride, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We bless thy name. Thank you for giving us this opportunity, this privilege. We give you glory. We give you honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.